Good afternoon, everyone. So my presentation is entitled Cancer Control Needs of Clients in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or as most of us know it, the Food Stamps Program. And I have no relationships to disclose. So what is SNAP? So the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program is a part of the federal food assistance program. It's administered nationally by the USDA Food and Nutrition Service and operated locally by local state government agencies and welfare agencies. Eligibility criteria for the program is determined by the USDA at the national level, and it's the state's responsibility to determine eligibility for their clients and then to actually distribute the benefits to their clients. And benefits are distributed on an electronic benefits transfer, which is an EBT card, which works similar to a debit card. So an individual swipes their card and their benefits are renewed monthly. So why work with the SNAP population? So as we know, clients of SNAP have to meet federal poverty eligibility requirements, and most of those clients are at or below the poverty level. And some prior research that we've completed shows us that basic needs are often a more urgent priority, not necessarily that they're not a priority, but a more urgent priority than cancer prevention. And also, SNAP is an existing system located in just about every U.S. community. So the objectives for this study were to describe the cancer control behavior of clients in the Missouri SNAP program, and then to compare these behaviors with those at the U.S. and local levels, and then identify opportunities to effectively reach this population. So we started by forming a cancer communication research partnership with a local office of the Missouri Department of Social Services. And specifically, we worked with an inner city office of the SNAP program in St. Louis City. We administered a survey via touchscreen computer to a random sample of individuals entering the SNAP office on any given day of recruitment. And we actually recruited right in the SNAP office over a 25-day period during July through August 2009. So every third person who entered the office and signed in at the greeter's desk was offered participation in the study. So we offered a little over 1,200 individuals participation. Of those, a little over 86% agreed to participate. And due to longer than anticipated waiting times or the actual internal process in the SNAP office, we had 685 actually complete the survey. During this time, we also had a smaller feasibility study going on, which tested the feasibility of offering health referrals within the SNAP system. During the last 5 days that happened. So for the purposes of this presentation, I'll be excluding those last 5 days and we'll be looking at a total population of 522. So this is a picture of the SNAP office in St. Louis City where recruitment occurred and where we were actually in the office completing the surveys. So the survey measured a variety of different variables, including demographics, general health status and insurance coverage, cancer-related behavior, specifically dealing with smoking, pap testing, mammography, colorectal cancer screening, and perception of an individual's unmet basic needs. These included having enough money in the next month to live on, having enough food in the next month, and having a place to stay in the next month, and I'll talk about those later. And also the awareness and use of different social and cancer control programs within the state that are designed to address those unmet basic needs and designed to offer free or low-cost cancer control services. So the characteristics of our population, fairly young, mostly female, mostly African-American, low education status and a little over 40% unemployed. So in terms of general health status, we see that the food stamps population mostly rated their health as fair or poor, and small percentages as excellent or very good. When we look at this compared with national data from the 2008 BRFSS, we see that there's a slightly different trend, especially in the US population, where smaller percentages rate their health as fair or poor. So in terms of smoking status, a large percentage of stamp clients were smokers, a little bit higher in the state of Missouri, and lower in St. Louis City and the US. And when we look at the data on a national and local level, again, we see the greatest difference in current smokers for our SNAP population and the local and US data. So in terms of cancer control behavior, when looking at females over the age of 18 who had ever had a Pap test, there isn't really that great of a difference in the percentages here, but again, the SNAP population lower than the others. And looking at mammography screening for females 40 and over, again, not that big of a percentage difference, but there is a difference. And we see the biggest difference in terms of colonoscopy for males and females 50 and over, with just a little below 40% of our SNAP population having reported ever being screened for colon cancer, specifically having a colonoscopy. And then when we compare that to the US, Missouri, and St. Louis populations, greater percentages. So looking at the actual numbers, again, not that big of a difference for Pap and mammography, but a significant difference for colonoscopy. So like I stated earlier, we assessed the presence of an individual's unmet basic needs. And these included, or the question was, within the next month, how likely is it that you will have enough money to pay for necessities, have enough money to deal with unexpected expenses, have enough money to live on, have a place to stay, be physically threatened, and get enough food to eat. So we conducted chi-squares analyses to determine the relationship between cancer control behaviors and unmet basic needs, and we found a relationship. So individuals who reported being current smokers were also more likely to report not having enough money to pay for necessities, not having enough money to deal with unexpected expenses. The same trend with individuals who reported never being screened or never having a Pap test reported were more likely to report not having enough money to pay for necessities, not having enough money to live on. Again, with mammography, individuals who indicated they had never had a mammogram were more likely to indicate that they would not have a place to stay for all of next month. And with colonoscopy, those who reported never having a colonoscopy were more likely to report not having enough money to pay unexpected expenses and not having a place to stay for all of next month. So the next step of this was to kind of look into the awareness in youth. So how does the awareness of different cancer control services affect individuals' likelihood of being screened? And we would expect that individuals who are aware of these services were more likely to be screened. However, that wasn't the case. So this graph just shows the overall awareness in use. Higher percentages of individuals aware of social programs, higher percentage of those who use social programs compared to those cancer control services that are also available. So the results from this study kind of indicate that there's a smaller subpopulation within the food stamps population. So there are some individuals that are getting their basic needs met, and getting screened for cancer and other individuals who are not. So some next steps would be to look into that more closely and see what are the differences in those individuals and why are there differences, especially when the larger population as a whole are all below the federal poverty level and are all eligible for SNAP benefits. Partnerships with other organizations designed to meet unmet basic needs. So instead of intervening at a point where individuals are more worried about paying their bills for next month or paying their rent for next month, intervening at a point where individuals at least know that there's some security in their home situation or their bills will be paid for the next month. And how does that how does the openness to receiving information about cancer screening change at each time point? The third point just kind of highlights or alludes to the first one, increasing awareness and use of these public health programs that are available in many of our states, and further looking into the differences between EverScreen and UpToDate screening. What are the differences there? Why does someone decide to get screened and then continue to get screened every 2 to 10 years compared to someone who has never been screened before? So I just wanted to finish with some acknowledgments to our partners at the Department of Social Services in Missouri, to the clients of the food stamps program who took our survey, to my colleagues at the HCRL whose names you can see on the abstract, and our funding mechanism. Thank you.